Good morning. We're glad that you've tuned in this morning to another edition of the Let the Bible Speak program brought to you by the Warfield Boulevard Church of Christ, meeting at 290 Warfield Boulevard in Clarksville, Tennessee. And I just want to let you know that you can feel free to call us at any time if you have a request for a Bible study. If you'd like to get together, we can set up a convenient time to study the Word of God. If you would like a ride to the church building, we can try to arrange that. But give us a call. Get something to write with. In just a minute, I'll give you that phone number. And we would love for you to contact us. We meet at 290 Warfield Boulevard. We meet on Sunday morning at 9:30 and 10:30 a.m., Sunday evening at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. You can call us at 931-647-1324. That's 931-647-1324. You can also visit us on the web at wbcoc.org. That's wbcoc.org. But give us a call. We'd love to hear from you. This morning on the program, I want to talk about how that God invites you to come and gives you an invitation to come and have a right relationship with Him. A lot of times we receive invitations. We might receive a personal invitation. We might receive an invitation in the mail, inviting us to come and join in something that is special. We might get an invitation to a birthday party. We might get an invitation to a wedding. We might get an invitation to an anniversary party. We might get an invitation to a cookout. We might get an invitation to a Super Bowl party. And we could go on and on and on. There are a number of people in our lives that invite us to come and do different things with them. And we make a decision whether or not we can go or not. It might be based upon our interest in what they're inviting us to do. It might be based upon whether or not we have free time to go and do that, whether or not we're feeling well enough to go do that. So we make decisions when these invitations are given. Well, in the same way, there are Bible invitations, and I'd like to look at those this morning. We're going to see how that God invites you to come and have a relationship with Him. Jesus invites you. The Holy Spirit invites you, and we as members of the Warfield Boulevard Church of Christ invite you. And so I hope that our study this morning will be helpful and encouraging to you as we think about how that God is inviting us and He's ready to assist us in our spiritual needs and in a right relationship with Him. Jesus in His teaching actually gave a parable that involved God's invitation. If you want to turn with me to Luke chapter 14, we're going to read verses 15 through 24. Luke 14, 15 through 24. And I want us to think about whether or not we would be willing to accept God's invitation. Sometimes when somebody invites us to come do something with them, we examine the cost. Is there any sacrifice, any time given up? Any distance that has to be traveled? Is our schedule going to allow it? And we also look at the benefits of the invitation. What am I going to get out of that? Is there going to be food involved? Is there going to be friends involved? Is it going to be something that is fun to do? Or am I being invited to come over to my friend's house and do some hard work? We weigh the costs and the benefits of all of that. We look at our schedule. We look at our priorities. We need to do all of that, friends, with regard to God's invitation to us and these other invitations that we're going to be looking at. We need to examine our spiritual lives and what we're going to lose if we do not accept God's invitation to come to Him. We need to examine the benefits of a home in heaven if we will accept that invitation. We need to look at our schedule and our priorities and put God first in our life and put work and school and family and material things secondary to God. That doesn't mean we stop loving those things altogether, but they're not as important as a right relationship with God. In fact, when we get God in our lives, then we can truly help those in those other relationships at work and school and our family and our neighbors and our friends. That's how we can truly help them, is by being a faithful Christian ourselves. But in Luke chapter 14, verse 15, Jesus says, or Luke records, when one of them that sat at meat with him heard these things, he said unto him, that is, he said to Jesus, blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. But he, Jesus, said unto him, and here's the parable, a certain man made a great supper, and he bade many, or he invited many, and he sent forth his servants at supper time to say to them that were invited, come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a field, and must needs go out and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. Another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. And the servant came and told his lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said unto his servants, go out quickly into the streets and into the lanes, and bring in here the poor and the maimed and the blind and the lame. And the servant said, Lord, what you have commanded is done, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges and constrain them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you that none of those men that were invited shall taste of my supper. So let's just go back through and notice some of the main principal thoughts of this particular parable, where the kingdom of God, that is, being a member of the Lord's church today in God's kingdom, it's likened unto accepting God's invitation. Notice, first of all, Jesus said that a certain man made a great supper. This is a parable. This is a story that is likening God's interest in sinners to come to him. Like a man who has an interest in making this feast, God has an interest in saving souls and inviting them. So this physical story of a physical man offering and inviting to a dinner has spiritual lessons, where God is inviting sinners to come to him. And notice, first of all, that Jesus said, come, for all things are now ready. We have the invitation, but everything is already. The invitation to come to God today is already. God doesn't have to get some more things ready. We can do it right now. And he prepared that when he sent Jesus to die on the cross and establish his church. From that point onward, things were ready. Things are ready. So we don't have to wait for God to get ready. He's waiting for us. So that's the first thing. The second thing we find is that when people are invited by God, they often make excuses. They don't want to come. They've got more important things that they need to do. So one person said he bought 5 yoke of oxen, and another person had bought a field, and another person had just gotten married. And if you look at those three things, material possessions, maybe our job, and then marriage and family relationships, these often take precedence over God's invitation. And so we make excuses as to why we can't come. We're busy doing this and that, and we say we cannot come. So you'll have to decide that this morning, friend. Do you accept God's invitation, or will you make an excuse as to why I can't come? I can't come to the worship service right now. I can't pray right now. I can't read my Bible. I can't obey the gospel and repent and be baptized for the remission of my sins. I just can't do any of that right now. And I can't come on Sunday to worship the Lord on the first day of the week and partake of the Lord's Supper like New Testament Christians did. I can't do any of that. So we just start making excuses and that type of thing. Well, you're going to have to make that choice, and God will certainly let you make that choice. But then that brings us to our next point. Jesus said that when they made excuses, the master of the house being angry. God is angry. God does not want us just simply to dismiss him and blow him off and say, I don't have any need for your invitation. And he's going to go invite other people in our place. He's not going to force us to come to him. He'll go out and find those who do want to come to him. And there are those, I believe, every day who come to God the right way. I believe that there are many people around the world who are accepting God's invitation. And we're going to be left out. But he's not going to force us to come. And when he invites others, verse 22, there is still room for us if we'll change our mind. And the man sent out servants to go into the highways, constrained them to come in. That's what I'm trying to do this morning, friends. I'm trying to beg you. I'm trying to constrain you. I'm trying to encourage you to think seriously about this. Please come. Not come to me. Come to God. Come to Jesus Christ. Come to the Holy Spirit. So they were constrained to come in that my house may be filled. And then verse 24, I say unto you that none of those men that were invited shall taste of my supper. The ones that made excuses, they're not welcome. And so that's a very serious thing. So let's think this morning about some Bible invitations. First of all, God invites you and me to come. And I want to talk about three different invitations that he gives you and I. First of all, he invites you with an invitation to salvation. He wants you to come and be saved from sin through the blood of Jesus Christ. You need to repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins. Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. You need to hear the gospel. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Mark 16, 15, and 16. And that's an invitation to come and be saved and have the forgiveness of your sins, to wash away your sins in baptism, Acts 22, 16. Baptism doth also now save you, 1 Peter 3, 21. So God is inviting you to come. And it's like the Old Testament invitation in Genesis chapter 7 and verse 1. The text says, and Jehovah said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. Come thou and all thy house into the ark. It was an invitation to come into the ark and be saved. And Noah and his family did that. Eight souls were saved. They were saved through water. And Peter says, which is a likeness and a figure of baptism, which doth also now save you. Going into the ark was to prefigure being baptized into Christ. But come thou and all thy house into the ark. He's inviting you to accept the invitation of salvation. It reminds me of Isaiah chapter 1, verses 18 and 20, where God invites wicked Israel to come back to him. Isaiah 1:18, come now, an invitation. Come now and let us reason together, saith Jehovah. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of Jehovah hath spoken it. Like the invitation to come into the ark, this is an invitation to come and reason together with God and realize that we're in sin and we need to have that forgiven. You see, friend, the world is inviting you to stay with them. They're inviting you right now to stay with their sinful lifestyle and their sinful relationships. Don't leave them and go to God. They're inviting you to stay with the majority. They're inviting you to stay where there's no condemnation, where you're only acceptance. You'll be accepted by them. Nobody will judge you. Nobody will restrict you. No one will say anything negative about you. That's what the world is inviting you to do. And that's just a ploy of the devil, a tactic of the devil to get you to stay in your sin. Accept God's invitation to come and be saved and have that sin washed away in baptism. God is also inviting you to come and serve him. And that's the greatest service on the face of the earth. I think about God's invitation to Moses in Exodus 3 and verse 10, Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that you may bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Come work for me. Wouldn't that be great? Sometimes when you're thinking about changing your work, a boss will come up, an employer will come up, an owner of a company will come up and say, hey, come work for me. God is saying, come work for me. And it's the greatest service on the face of the earth. The world is inviting you to serve yourself and be selfish. That's where you can be first. That's where your time and your life can be selfishly used for whatever you want. That's what the world is inviting you to do. Serve yourself. Look out for number one. Don't help anybody else out. We see it all over our society. But God's inviting us to His service. And number three, God is inviting us to take hold of His wisdom. Take hold of His wisdom and His knowledge and His learning. And that wisdom will make us smarter in our relationship with God and others. It's the best education we need. I'm not opposed to a secular education. Kindergarten through 12th grade and going on to college, those are good things. But the best education is the fear of the Lord and to know His Word. And God is inviting us to partake of His wisdom. One example of that is in Proverbs chapter 9 and verse 1. Wisdom has builded her house. She has hewn out her seven pillars. She has killed her beast. She has mingled her wine. She has also furnished her table. She has sent forth her maidens. She cries upon the highest places of the city. Whoso is simple, let him turn in there. As for him that is void of understanding, she says to him, come, eat of my bread and drink of the wine which I have mingled. Leave off, you simple ones, and live, and walk in the way of understanding. Wisdom is personified as a woman who has set a feast, just like that one we read about earlier in Luke 14, the man who made a feast and invited. Wisdom, God's word, God's wisdom. And the rest of the chapter goes on to talk about the importance of having God's wisdom in our lives. We can know God's word and will. We've got to get our Bible open. We've got to read it. We've got to apply it in our life, and it will make us a better person. What we need in our lives, friends, is God's word. A lot today you hear about government programs and taxpayer-funded programs to help people. We need God's word in the lives of people. And if you need that, let me encourage you to accept God's invitation to come and partake of His wisdom. The world invites you to partake of worldly wisdom, the way man thinks. Well, you can see where that's getting us in our society. We have all kinds of problems because people are following man's wisdom. We've got violence. We've got true racism and hate. We've got crime. And that's because people are following human wisdom. James talks about the wisdom that is from the world. The wisdom that is from the world is sensual. What we feel, devilish. For where jealousy and faction are, there is confusion in every vile deed. Back up in verse 14, if you have bitter jealousy and faction in your heart, division, glory not and lie not against the truth. The wisdom that is not a wisdom that, this wisdom is not a wisdom that comes down from above, from heaven, from God, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where jealousy and faction are, there's confusion and every vile deed. And we're seeing confusion today when people say that girls are really boys and boys are really girls. That's just confusion, and everybody knows it. And yet it's being propagated by many today. And we will sometimes think more about an animal than we will the child in a mother's womb. Yes, he or she is a child, a human being in the mother's womb. But we will often spend more time and money and effort trying to save an animal than we will a human being. That's just confusion. And it comes from earthly wisdom. Partake of God's wisdom. It'll make you and I a better person. There's a second person that is inviting you to come, and that's Jesus. He invites you to come with an invitation of discipleship. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 21, Jesus, looking upon him, loved him, that is, the rich young ruler. He said unto him, one thing thou lackest, go and sell all that you have, and give it to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. Jesus invites you to be one of his disciples. The world is inviting you to just simply follow yourself, where you're the leader, and you make all the rules, and you are God, small g. No, that only turns out to be a disaster. Be a disciple of Christ. Number two, Jesus invites you with an invitation to rest. In Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon me and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. There are things that we will have to do. There is work that we must do for Christ. That's why he mentions a yoke. A yoke is a symbol of work. There will be some things we need to do. But when we do those things, we can have spiritual rest. We can have freedom from sin and freedom from guilt and anxiety and worry. And we can rest. And we can ultimately rest in heaven, having lived a faithful life. So Jesus invites you to an invitation of rest. The world invites you to solve your problems your own way. Relieve your problems with drugs, with sexual immorality, with bad language, with anger, with theft, with taking your own life. Relieve your problems by hurting others. Murder. Crime. No, we have problems in life, and Jesus is inviting us to share those with him. He can help us truly with them. And then last of all, he's inviting us to be separate from worldly sinful influences. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 17, wherefore, come ye out from among them and be separate, says the Lord, and touch no unclean thing, and I will receive you. Live pure lives. We might sin from time to time, and we can, after we become a Christian, we can confess that and repent of that and pray to God for forgiveness, but we're going to live a separate life from sinful things. That doesn't mean we ignore people around us and no longer talk with anybody around us and shut ourselves into our home or live in a monastery somewhere. But it does mean that we're not going to live a sinful lifestyle. We're not going to continue in that lifestyle. In Revelation chapter 18 and verse 4, and I heard another voice from heaven saying, come forth, my people, out of her, that you have no fellowship with her sins and that you receive not her plagues. So we're going to live in the world, but we're not going to live up by the world and be of the world. But the world is just simply inviting us to stay together with them. Be in the in crowd. Be one of the guys. Be in the house. These slogans that make us feel good about staying together with somebody else in their sin. And Jesus is inviting us to come out of that. The Holy Spirit is inviting us. The Holy Spirit is inviting you with an invitation to satisfy your soul. In Revelation 22 and verse 17, "And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. And he that heareth, let him say, Come. And he that is athirst, let him come. And he that will, let him take of the water of life freely." The Spirit, of course, the Holy Spirit invites us through the Scriptures, the Bible. The bride in the book of Revelation are God's people, the church. And we're inviting, I'll talk about that in just a moment. Members of the church are inviting you along with the Spirit to come. And then John says, "He that hears, let him say, Come." When we hear the Spirit's invitation, we need to agree with that. Yes, come. I'll come. I'll do that. "And he that is athirst, let him come. He that will, let him take of the water of life freely." The water of life in Scripture is symbolic of spiritual refreshment and spiritual soul satisfaction and comfort and refreshment. And we can be spiritually refreshed if we will accept the Holy Spirit's invitation through the Bible, the Scriptures, to come. He's not inviting us personally with a voice in our ear, but He's inviting us every time we read something from His Word, from Genesis to Revelation, the Spirit's Word. The world is inviting you to satisfy your fleshly desires, the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. But the Spirit is inviting you to take of the water of life freely and have inner soul satisfaction and forgiveness of sins, answered prayers, other Christians to be around on a weekly basis in the local church, and every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. And then last of all, not only does God invite you, and Jesus invites you, and the Holy Spirit invites you, but as members of the Lord's Church at the Warfield Boulevard Church of Christ, we invite you. We urgently invite you to come. Obey the gospel. Come work and worship with us. I think about Nathanael and Philip in John 1:46. Nathanael said unto Philip, "Can any good thing come out of Nazareth?" And Philip said unto him, "Come and see." The Samaritan woman said to her friends, "Come see a man." She was talking about Jesus, "who told me all things ever I did. Can this be the Christ?" And like Philip, like the Samaritan woman, we say to you, come. Come, experience God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. Do you want to hear the invitation in the last day? "Come, blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you." Matthew 25:34. Do you want to hear that? Then you need to accept God's invitation now. All things are ready. Come to that feast that we started with at the beginning of the program. Contact us. Call us. We would love to hear from you. 931-647-1324. 931-647-1324. Accept God's invitation. Thank you for being with us and have a good day.